Have you seen this new ultimate selfie tool in the photography world?
Is this the cane and duct tape?
This was a kiosk at the mall with a modified golf club.
Try this again.
So have
Yes,
you
I've seen those.
the ultimate selfie stick?
First of all,
Okay, let's try it one more time.
okay, go.
Have you seen the new ultimate selfie stick?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Hello and welcome to episode 209 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam, Vancouver.
Are you watching the three wise men come to your door like I am?
No,
It's
I'm
happening here. We're
not.
gonna hear a doorbell in a second.
Okay.
And it's the wise men. I'm not sure. They've been hovering outside. I don't know what I'm doing the play-by-play for. They're 2 days early. Moving on.
Now, is there only one set of city-appointed wise men, or is this just like, Halloween?
Well, these are kids dressed up as the wise men, and there's more than three of them.
Okay, but three of them come, like you say, there's a day where the wise men come to your door.
January
Is it,
6.
but is it over and over and over again? Like every group of three kids who gets together and says, hey, this is our crew, we're going to be the wise men. Like, does this, the packs of three all day like Halloween?
Could be. I don't
Well,
know yet. I'll let you
you've
know.
lived in Germany.
Right, but this we're in the new neighborhood now.
Oh.
So I don't know really what's going on.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
They're singing out there now, though. Moving on. Yeah, we're recording this on January the 4th, and as I understand it, Dreikönigstag is January the 6th, and which is a couple days away. So I'm not really sure. I'll get back to you. I'll get my selfie stick out and scare them away.
Okay.
What's going on, Adam?
Early morning. I just woke up, so sorry. Processing time is going to be a little slower today.
Okay.
Yeah, I know nothing's going on.
You should make coffee, but buy that coffee on Amazon.
Oh, that, you know what? And this is in all honesty, last night we signed up for Amazon Prime.
Did you?
Yes, we did.
And?
And I made an order of some new parts for the remote control car because we've been launching it off of huge ramps at the skate park.
And the front struts for the wheels snap off, don't they?
No, it was, well, I don't know if you called that, like, it's like the part that holds the axles at the front and back is cracked,
Yep, standard.
which is just a piece of plastic, and so we ordered aluminum parts.
Ah, hot move. See, back in the day when I had my remote control car, many, many years ago, like 30 years ago, I guess, there was no internet. And so you basically had to phone a guy in Maryland and hope and just wire him some cash and hope he sent you the right parts. That's how it went. So this, yeah, so that's awesome. So you bought them on Amazon. Wonderful.
Yeah, and there are parts like that you can buy like at local stores here, except for, again, they're the same parts that came with it, which are plastic. And I figure, well, it didn't take us that long of launching off ramps to break that spot in both spots, right? In the front and the back. So no point in just going around and around a circle here. So I thought I'm going to just, anything that breaks in that thing, I'm just going to replace it with aluminum parts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
good to hear. And of course you bought it through our website.
I did. My wife was like, "Oh, better make sure you click through your site." So yeah, even she was on board with reminding me.
Wonderful.
So yeah, so now there you go, Amazon Prime. So I'm excited to see how this all works. So we ordered it yesterday, so it says that we'll get it on Tuesday. So
Yeah, it's awesome.
yeah,
Very, very
and
handy.
for those keeping track, that was we ordered it Saturday, and we'll get it on Tuesday.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And now do you have Prime Video or no? Is that in Canada?
Yeah, I don't know. I asked Lisa because she did it all through her account, and she says she's not sure because she's never used it before. So I'll check that out later today.
I think you get music and video. I'm not sure how it works in Canada.
Yeah, I don't know either. So.
If they have it, if it's everything's available or not, but because I can't make it work here, but that's a whole nother situation.
So expect a lot of Amazon purchases for remote control car parts from me in the near future.
Oh, no question. No question. Great. I think we're at 4 years this week, finally.
Of what?
Well, it says of podcasting, but I think our first episode really was the 22nd of, I don't know. Do you want to get into it? I don't.
No,
let's move on.
No.
Did you see last week's album cover from 208?
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was like a camera or something, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Oh, I don't think I spent a lot of time on it.
I did.
And is that why it was disappointing? Because you didn't just snap it in 3 seconds?
Yeah. Had I snapped it in 3 seconds, the failure would have been a lot easier to take.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I cut out the, I did those threes that were up there. I thought, oh man, three threes, how symbolic for our top three pictures, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was done in camera. I did that with that wasn't a font I put on there. I used an X-Acto knife and cut out a three and did a shaped bokeh.
Oh, that's what it was.
So that was all done in camera. So that was why it was terrible.
Okay. Because I didn't get that.
No, you didn't. And because I did it once and it didn't work out, so I cut it yet again, a different size three. So I did it. I did it twice and still failed.
Oh
yeah,
but good try though.
The good news was it was my wife was actually hosting a party at our house with all her friends, like her high school friends and their kids, and they're having a big party. And I just wandered off to my office and just did that instead.
You had a project you were working on.
Yeah, just went and locked my door.
Yeah, you were unavailable for the party.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I tried to update to Lightroom this weekend.
Okay.
This week. Because you had such rave reviews about it.
It is pretty cool. I haven't really committed to learning fully yet. I've been sort of, back and forth with it. So.
Well, don't worry. We're going to get you learned up on that real good.
Okay.
We have a guest, I think, next week.
Okay.
Who, who Chris Marquardt is.
Yes.
Word around the campfire, he's going to come on next week and talk about his Lightroom training video.
Oh, he has his own.
Yeah, it's available online, and I haven't. He sent me a link to it, a behind the scenes link. And so I'm going to check it out because I'm actually going to get Lightroom. That's the idea. I wanted to, my whole thing was I wanted to upgrade to Lightroom. You've been raving about it. I want to get the Creative Cloud or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
I feel for $10 a month, that's hard to cry about.
Yes.
Right? So I go to upgrade. Turns out you need, on the Mac, you need an operating system of 10.7 or higher.
Okay.
I'm running 10.6.8 or whatever it is. Like I'm way behind. Like currently you're on 10.10. Like I don't know if you've updated to Yosemite or not.
I haven't, no.
Okay. I think you should. It's free, and I think your computer would run it just fine. Mine is old. Mine is basically the oldest computer that they still allow to actually run Yosemite.
Okay.
Because everything works. I mean, I use 10.6.8. These numbers mean nothing to a lot of people, or everything to some people.
I use 10.8.5.
Right. There you go. So whatever that is, mountain lion or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can upgrade to Yosemite for free if you want, and you probably should. But we'll talk about that. You and I will talk about that off the air about how to back it up and make sure that you like it first and whatnot. But so anyway, so I go to upgrade and I think, well, I still want to do Lightroom. So I upgrade. I have two internal drives in my laptop. And I've been hesitant to upgrade in the past because everything works. Final Cut Pro, which is discontinued, you can't get it anymore. They do the Final Cut X, whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still use Final Cut Pro, and I like it, and everything works, and so I don't update anything. But now it comes the time when you have to update and in order to use the Lightroom, Photoshop, whatever. So I update. I update one of my drives.
Okay.
I still keep my old operating system on one drive, update the other one. And it just nothing but trouble. It won't run. It just like the operating system will run. It is really slow. It hangs. I did a whole bunch of little maneuvers to try to smooth it out. Like, there's a bunch of little things you can do. This is just for the people before they write in and tell me, hey, try this, try that. Tried it. Did it. Doesn't work. Can't get it to work. So I thought, oh, no. Like, that was pretty upsetting. So I actually reverted back, got rid of the Yosemite partition, essentially, and now I'm back to 10.6.8.
And all is right with the world again?
Everything's right with the world. Like, I was having, and during this time, like, my kids were acting up, and my wife had a ton of questions about nothing, and so it was a pretty frustrating time for me. So I'm trying to figure out what's going wrong, and just problem solving, and doing all this stuff, and everybody's just, you know, yelling at me. So I get it sorted out, I get back to normal, but I still want to go with Lightroom because Aperture's just, you know, it's fine. I've never said Aperture's better than Lightroom. In fact, I think I've said it's kind of the opposite. It's not that. It's not nearly as good. But I've just been using it, and it's been serving my purpose, so I just didn't kind of get around to it. January 1st, I thought, I'm going to start a new year because every year I start a new Aperture library. Like, start from scratch. So rather than do that, I'm going to start with Lightroom and just take it from here. Keep my old Aperture stuff, you know, archived with Aperture. But I'm going to, moving forward, I'm going to Lightroom this. So now I can't. Okay? So first step is I move, instead of doing a managed library in Aperture where it copies all of your raw files into its little vault thing, I've moved it over to a referenced library. Meaning that I keep all the raw files in a separate folder, and then when I run Aperture, it just basically, in the little vault, just keeps track of all the little changes that you make.
Okay.
And the previews and stuff like that. Because I found, this has happened once or twice, I get a corrupt raw file, and then I just cannot open an entire year's worth of pictures. And it takes a lot of dancing to try to fix that. And it worries me. I don't want to lose my whole library simply because of one file. So I'm now going forward. I'm moving to a referenced library I'm going to track down a for lack of a better word, a used Lightroom 4 product code. Like if you used to use Lightroom 4 and now you upgrade to the Creative Cloud or whatever it's called, you no longer need the Lightroom 4, right?
Right.
So you can basically sell that. Say, okay, I don't need it anymore. You can sell it. I'm going to buy that because I can't upgrade to the Creative Cloud.
Okay.
So I'm in the process of doing that. That's where I'm going, moving forward, and then I can take all those referenced files and just move forward with Lightroom and be happy.
I see. Okay.
So I had a much longer rant about the upgrade process. I think I'm just going to spare everybody that headache.
Right. We'll understand that you're noticeably upset.
I'm better now. If we'd recorded yesterday, you would have kicked me off the podcast.
Okay.
Pretty frustrated.
Okay.
One more piece of business before we get into what we shot. Mike, Uncle Mike Shoots the Wedding. Remember from Winnipeg?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Mike, don't know if he has any nieces or nephews, but he said he heard your bad experience with London Drugs, Prince.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, he swears that he has a great, consistently great experiences using Costco.
Interesting.
And I don't know.
Would have never thought Costco.
I've had stuff done way back in the film days. Like, they would process film very, very cheaply. And so, you know, and it was reasonable. Like, for your little point and shoot stuff, you know, it was fine. But I never really loved what they did. And so I guess the snob in me kind of always figured that there's no way Costco is going to get this right.
Yeah, no, that's kind of how I felt.
You want to buy, you know, a metric ton of coffee beans? Costco is your man.
Right, yeah.
You know, giant, you know, everything else. But, like, for me, the only thing I really go to Costco for is coffee beans. For whatever reason, because they're, cheap.
They're super cheap, and it's good quality. I agree. I buy all my coffee from Costco.
Everything else I could care less about. But Mike says you can download the profile from Costco's website and basically calibrate your computer as such, get your pictures dialed in, and they'll just nail them. So says Mike.
I'll try it.
Yep, give it a go. And he says it's about 5% more expensive than free.
Yeah, I do have one experience with Costco just recently at Christmas time. I had a friend that I had taken a family portrait of who wanted to use it for a Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
Basically I sent them the image and they took it to Costco. And I guess they have the pre-made, hey, insert the border with the photo and then it's instant Christmas card sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And so they had it done and then they showed it to me after and I just thought, it's dark. It was way too dark. But again, I did not use Costco's color profile, which may have sorted that out. But it was, two stops underexposed, the picture that I had taken.
Right.
Yeah. So, again, dark, you have to hold it up to the light, close to a light to see the exposure that was intended.
That's no fun.
Yeah. No. So, I'm 0-1 with Costco experience so far.
Well, let's try it with the color profile and see what happens.
Yes.
Might be worth it.
Yeah. Worth a shot anyways. And I think he said something about, you can get the color profiles for each individual store, correct?
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't read that.
I thought I did. Maybe I'm making that up. But you would think they should have different ones, right? They're not going to be all exactly the same, would they? Would they be?
They would. I'm guessing they're going to use the same equipment, but in terms of dialing it in, I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you they each have their own, just to make it more confusing. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's our Costco Langley profile. Yeah, they just do black and white.
But yeah, no, I'm going to give Costco a try because I'm done with London Drugs.
Will they do the white borders, which is funny because that's always been my big criteria is I happen to like the printable, the white borders that come around, like the kind of the retro look.
Yeah.
Because I've always we make our own albums on black paper. It really makes those pictures pop out. As I'm actually completing, I finished an album for my son's first birthday, which took me forever. And I'm actually getting caught up on my daughter's last birthday. We still haven't done the album because we were in Canada. We're getting that one finished. And right now I've hit the wall in terms of making actual albums.
Mm-hmm.
I will be doing printed books from now on. It's just it's so much work involved.
Mm-hmm.
So now getting the prints made with a white border will not be a priority for me.
Okay.
Because if you're framing a picture, you certainly don't do that.
No, you don't.
And so for here, when I was getting them done here, getting them printed, they don't really do them with a white border here. It's not a thing.
Right.
You can order it special, but instead of being, 50 cents, that's from the Pro Lab, it's $2.50 a picture if you want the white border around it.
To not print ink is costing you a lot.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I had done is I had gone and added a white border and said, hey, just print this as is. And they're like, you got it, boss. And I come back and they've zoomed in to get rid of the white border. And I said, does that look like that? I was very clear. Just print the pixels. Print what you see.
Right.
And you got it, boss. Come back a second time. All right, we're done here. Moving on. So for me, it was better for me to get prints done at London Drugs in Canada and take them in my luggage back here,
right?
Than to get it done here.
I see.
Now it's Costco. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I tried to
so
shoot.
No.
I tried to shoot a picture of my daughter because my son wouldn't cooperate. I wanted to shoot a picture of him in his LeBron James jersey. He got a LeBron James jersey for Christmas, and I kind of wanted him to take a picture holding a basketball or something. I thought it'd be a cute, funny picture that I could throw up for family and friends and stuff. And he was having none of it. And so I said, okay, Sarah, will you do it? And she was game for it, except for when we got to the taking picture time, she was just completely goofing around.
Mm-hmm.
So I took five pictures and then I just quit. But I'd spent 15 minutes getting everything set up because I was going to light this and blah, blah, blah. And So the interesting part was the complete and utter frustration that came with setting up all this stuff and then literally taking it down in 38 seconds because of uncooperative children and ending up with a photo that I absolutely think is a waste of time,
uh-huh.
but could have been good if not for, you know, scurry facial expressions and whatnot.
That's what my daughter's starting to do a lot of now.
Yeah.
She thinks, but to her credit and to Sarah's credit, they do think it's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Guess what? It isn't.
And that's where, you know, really considering, am I going to set all this stuff up or not, comes into play.
Uh-huh.
Like, it has to be, like, this photo wasn't going to be anything more than just, like, a funny one for Facebook anyways. Like, it wasn't going to be a frame on the wall. So, when I sort of thought about it afterwards, I really kind of, it was my fault that I wasted all this time setting things up.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wanted to, though. You know, I was kind of in the mood. We were gonna be home for a little while, and I just thought, hey, this something I want to do. So long as the kids cooperate, right?
So, and what do you do? I think in having to show them like other people's family photos that they're just taken in the dark with an iPhone.
Yeah.
But see, maybe. Do you want this? Do you want Penelope's dad's pictures? No. This is why you're gonna win at Facebook. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and sometimes my daughter is very cooperative, so it just comes and goes, but you never know when you go through the 15-minute ordeal of setting it up, you don't know when you finish if she's going to be in that mood or not.
I'm at the point now, because of that, that I, if I am going to set anything up, it is never more than one light.
Yeah.
I'm a one-light guy, and I pretend like it's an artistic choice, but really, I can't be bothered to do exactly what you just described.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think mine was still only a one light, but I had to move some furniture around. Like, there was a background I wanted to use, and it was in the house, but I had to move some things around. So, and then, of course, I wanted to use the Alien B with the big new softbox I got. So, I mean, it was still a one light photo, but it still, I want to say, took 15 minutes to get everything in the right position.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was not cooperating.
Frustrating.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That light, though, is like, for anybody, I haven't mentioned this in a while, who wants to enter the foray of studio lighting, buy one of those Alien B B800s, because they are awesome and they can do anything you want to do. And if you really like studio lighting, you can always spend more money down the road, but I don't think you need to.
No, it's nice to have around the house.
Oh, it's just awesome and easy to use. And I'm using it in, like, you have to use it in manual settings. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's good for learning lighting anyway. So, yeah. You know what I realized is that unless you're using high-speed sync with off-camera lighting, manual is the way to go anyways. You're going to spend less time if you just do it in manual than you will in ETTL, because the chances of it getting exactly what you want it right off the bat in ETTL are pretty low. So then you're playing with, you know, the flash exposure compensation. Uh-huh. And by the time you do that, you might as well have just set it to manual.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've never used ETTL off camera flash. I mean, okay. I've never had the opportunity to. I mean, besides, I mean, goofing around with your young newer triggers, I did, but not my own stuff.
Yeah, the only time that it's good is if they're running around at the park and again you're crazy enough like I am to be using off camera flash,
mm-hmm.
then, because the light's always changing, and unless you get a really, you know, overcast day, light's changing, and so it's just they're moving too fast to try to do it manually. You're just gonna probably, you know, get nothing because you're gonna miss the moment. So it's good for that. But if you're taking a posed shot, absolutely manual.
Yeah,
you'll waste less time.
We had some snow here. It actually just went away last night. Mm-hmm. We had a week of snow, and I wanted like a nice picture of my kids out in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did an off camera manual flash in a softbox. And so here, you check out the picture. I'll post it on the website, of course. So this is what I shot this in the snow the other day.
Is it called Snowbox?
Yeah, because I used a softbox in the snow. Clever, huh?
Huh? Yeah. Oh, it's a great photo.
Yeah, but the kicker is, here's the move. If you can pull it off, try to have a snowy tree in your backyard.
Okay.
And then before your kids even get ready to go out, set your softbox up in the window right by this tree.
Okay.
So that it blasts it outside and doesn't get covered in snow. And then you basically get, you know, you get dialed in with all your settings. I put it on half power because I knew that's about what I would need. Figured the ambient exposure, and then just basically stepped outside, snapped a test shot, and everything was dialed in. Then we got the kids ready, plunked them down, and within 2 seconds had this shot and done. And then put the camera back away and went and played in the snow.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's the way to do it for sure, especially with the ages of your children. So you don't have much time.
No. No, no. I have three other shots of my kids, both my kids crying. And this was the brief window of smiling when, you know, I could go ahead and snap this. And so I was really pleased with how it turned out. Like, I thought I could balance nicely. Like, the color balance was nice. I didn't actually have to gel the flash. It was just kind of how it worked out.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, that's a great, great photo. Definitely one worth a print.
I think it might be the cover of the John Denver Christmas album.
Great.
Is he still recording? I don't know. So that was the interesting stuff. This week's photo challenge.
Okay.
New.
Yes.
Now, I figured it was going to be New Year anyway.
Okay, yeah.
And mine is New Year's, but let's have a look at yours first.
Mine is New Year's, so New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. We went to the skate park with the remote control car, and what I intended on shooting was a picture of the kids playing with the remote control car, jumping it, something, just to sort of say, oh, there's the new toy. Except for my daughter was suddenly cooperative, and there's all this cool graffiti and ramps and stuff. So she said, I'll pose for some photos. So I thought, okay, this has got nothing to do with the photo challenge. Let's just pose you. We're here on New Year's Day. It's like, you know, 3:45, like the sun's really low and it's like it's magic hour time, or it just before, right? So golden hour, whatever you want to call it. So anyways, she's posing in the different locations with the graffiti, and I thought, oh, okay, here, let's take some photos. And she's got all her new clothes on, right? So she's for Christmas, she got new those pants are new, the jacket's new, the hoodie underneath it's new, the boots are new. So she got a lot of clothes for Christmas. So I thought, New Year's Day, new location, like I've never taken photos here, and new clothes, New Year's, new location. I thought, here's my version of new. And I had different photos in different spots around it, but the angle that the light was coming in for this photo was my favorite.
Oh, I thought the new part was you taking a good photo.
Oh, ouch.
Zing.
Zing.
No, this is great. This isn't lit. This is just the sun.
This is just the sun.
Oh, yeah. this is great. This is one of the few things that is my favorite part of this time of year. Because it's kind of, for me, it's kind of like, you know, blah, like it, like the weather we have right now, the light is terrible. You know, like it's got that, like the, you know, after the snow is kind of melted and everything's kind of like, just kind of blah. So you don't get stuff like this. Now, what I like about this is that we get the nice golden light on her face. It's in the middle of the nice colors around. And the color of the light is actually just starting to slip off. Like in the shadows, it's just starting to go blue.
Yeah.
So it's a great contrast with the orange on her face.
Yeah,
which is what we've talked about a long time ago about orange and blue and that, and this is a great example of a really subtle example of that technique. And
I had some really more dramatic examples of just what you're saying, depending on where I placed the kids. Like I did shoot some photos of the kids playing with the remote control car, and of course every one where the light's just perfect, where it works so nice and they're sort of looking in side profile and all the light is very blue except for the light on their faces or on the front of their chests.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately never got the car in the shot, so
right.
It just looks like, you know, they're looking off in the distance, which is fine, but if I had the car in it, I that's kind of what I was envisioning.
Nope, I think you made a good choice. Without seeing the other ones, I like this one. So,
yeah,
your year is off to a good start.
There you go, one for one in 2015.
Keep that streak alive.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Here's mine. Mine is New Year's.
New Year's Eve.
This is it. This is right at the right around midnight.
Okay.
Just shy of midnight because the kids didn't stay. We had friends over. They brought their kids. This is. This is a friends of ours daughter. Okay. And this was her with her sparkler just going out. We kind of did a little early New Year's on New Year's Eve for the kids. Maybe 10 p.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
So we went out in front of our house. And again, this is twice in 1 week I've employed the set up a flash in the window. I put a hard flash. And this is in the front of our house, not the back of our house. But out front of our house. And there's snow on the street and whatnot. And it's basically pitch black out there. There's like zero, like a small, like a little bit of street light, but very, like not enough to register very well anyways. And so I knew I was going to need some light. And so I threw a hard flash, a hard Nikon, zoomed to 85 millimeters up in my office window, just blasting out into the street. And triggered that with a radio trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But also had my Canon 580 EX2 on the camera,
mm-hmm.
to you know, give some front light. Otherwise, it would just be all backlit and you wouldn't see anything in my subject's face. So I put that on an ETTL. And here's the move that I was kind of thrilled with. It's this, so that light is on camera. That's an on camera flash lighting up her face.
Yes.
Nor to bounce it. Well, I can't bounce it off the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have direct light right in her face.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't bring my softbox out with me. So what do I do? I end up putting the camera at a 45, pulling the white card out, and that's basically what's lighting up her face.
Okay.
You know the little light card that you can slide out? Yeah. So that's essentially what I did. So you get a little bit of light being thrown forward and some bouncing off the white card, giving her that little catch lights. And we get enough light in her face mixed with the backlight and enough exposure to see the sparkler sparkling.
Nice.
The end.
Okay. You know, last year, did you have a very similar photo? Like, I remember this photo, obviously different kid. I think it was your kid, but a very similar shot, right?
It was similar in that it was a young kid with a sparkler.
Yeah, yeah, but just like same, like similar composition, like very dark mm-hmm. with just a kid holding a sparkler.
This one's much better. Okay. Last year, I just remember the
pose. I remember the pose, and I just was thinking, I swear, there's a very similar mm-hmm. photo from last year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, what I can't remember. I can't remember if last year if I did use a flash or not.
We'll have to go back.
I think
we need to know this. We need to know this.
No, last year I did. I'm pretty sure without looking. I think I did an available light.
Okay.
And that was the difference. And this one that was okay. I like this one much better. Just the nature of the light and considering how I was able to do that. Normally, just the full flash right in the face, not very flattering, even for kids.
Right.
So what number was last year?
I have no idea.
Great. Happy New Year?
Sure.
That's probably what it is. Nope. That's not what the one. Well, it was. We probably gave the... Yes, there we go. Now I'm looking at it. Maybe I did light it. I don't know.
Does it look the same?
No, it's not as good.
Okay.
I like this year's better.
Okay, post last year's too.
You can go back to episode 157 and look at it. No, I'll put it up.
That's way too hard.
I'll put it up there, yeah. You're right. No, I was well aware I did a very similar, but...
on a technicality, I win.
Also different. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I do like your photo, so... Plus, yours was found light. Like, I mean, it was a situation of you didn't have to create it. It was recognizing good light is really the best way to go. Because when you go to create light, you're actually going to recreate awesome light that you have found previously, usually.
And here's the thing about this kind of scenario. Like, we're in the skate park walking around, and again, it's at a perfect time for light, and there's all different graffiti art at different spots, and so, Sarah's like, oh, I want to pose in front of that, so she stands in front of that, and I take the picture, and I'm like, eh, and then move to the next spot and look, oh, that looks cool, take the picture, eh, and then finally just get around to the point of, let's just not worry about what the graffiti is, let's mm-hmm. just go to where the best spot where the light is, and then we'll work with that, which is what we ended up doing, right?
It's the best way to go.
Yeah, it is easy to get yourself kind of talked into a specific location and it's the wrong time of day or the wrong time of year for the mm-hmm. shot that you want.
Yep.
And you just try and try and try and then just frustrate yourself to no end versus, hey, let's just move to the other corner or the other side of the street wherever the light is coming in just right, and we'll sort the location out if the light's good.
I think, like, for me, the best move is when you're in the situation where it's just not working and, like, you recognize that the light and background don't match up, is just blame somebody else.
Yeah, or just huck your camera.
Stupid HDR.
Buy a new one on Amazon.
Absolutely. I blame my wife for everything.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
that's how I go. This week's topic, you don't even know yet. You're on pins and needles.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Audience engagement.
Okay.
Huh?
I mean, we're whatever, 200 episodes deep. We're in trouble.
No, not engaging. I'm talking about people looking at your pictures. That's your audience.
Oh, I thought, like, you know, the podcast is in the toilet and, like, all right, we're going to talk this one through live on the air.
No. That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way.
I thought it was a pep talk for me.
Like an intervention.
Yeah.
Listen, here's where you're letting us down. We get it. You like Yang Nuo. Move on with your life.
Exactly.
No. But how do you get people? I didn't know what to call. What do you call people who look at your photo?
I never really thought about it.
No, but thinking about it now.
Okay.
I'm asking you to think about it. I couldn't think of it.
Do they need a name?
For the purpose of our episode, they do need a name. And I thought about it. I'm like, okay, are they the viewer?
Yes.
I don't think they are. I think that's the point, is if they are the viewer, you're probably not doing your job. You're not engaging them and involving them in the photograph. And so I think, like, if you go to a play, mm-hmm. and you're sitting in the audience, they are engaging you, hopefully, in that experience, and therefore you're not a viewer, you're in the audience.
You've spent too much time thinking about this.
I'd be honest with you, this play little analogy, I just came off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's genius, I know. It seems okay. Like I've been sitting here writing it over my breakfast cereal, but no.
Okay.
So
audience.
So your audience, so the audience for your picture. Now, audience encompasses everything. Like, you know, people see it at your house or online or where, you know, Facebook, wherever they see it, that's your audience. And how do you engage them in the photograph? Now, this came up from a very specific question that my wife asked me 2 days ago, 3 days ago, actually 2 days ago. How long do you want to spend on figuring out when it was?
2.5 days ago.
Yeah, there you go. No, but we were out. We had a bunch of friends over on New Year's Day, and we had them out. All the kids were sledding because we have, you know, a little hill, and we had the snow. So everybody came over with their kids to go do some tobogganing. And of course, I brought my camera out, and I took the 40D out with the 70-200, and I like to snap sled pictures. They're a lot of fun, and people seem to like them.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I snap away, and I get a lot of photos, and then it comes time for my son to go on his very first sled ride, and I take him, and my wife wants to snap photos. So I set the camera for her in manual mode and hand it to her and go, here you go. And she takes and slightly different photos, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now, afterwards, the next day, when you're looking at the photos, like she said, you know, like she's like, what is it? Why are these photos different? Like, the settings are the same. We're taking the same camera. We're taking pictures of the same thing. But she said, I know you're a professional photographer, so yours should be better. But why are yours so much better than mine? And I said, dear, because you're in mine. You're the subject, and I love you.
Now, that's not true, though.
Now fix my turkey pot pie.
No, but that's yes, she is, and she's better looking than you are. But there's something else.
There is something else, absolutely. And so it caused me to think about it and think about how do, and for me it is it, so. I've posted two pictures, sledding one and sledding two.
Okay,
and you can figure out who took which one, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they are very different photos, and taken minutes apart, same camera, same settings. And that's the result. why is the photo, besides the subject matter, of course, which we're joking about, but what is it that makes the one I took of my wife better than the one she took of me?
It's the angle and the lack of distraction.
Oh boy, I even made notes on this, and you're crossing them off. Boom, boom, boom.
And the reason I could come to this conclusion in about 1.5 seconds is because this exact same thing happens for me and my wife when I switch the camera off to her. Mm-hmm. It's always the first thing is the angle. And so it's a much more pleasing angle, the one that is taken of your wife and your daughter. Okay. Versus the downward angle. So sometimes I'll even, you know, say to my wife, can you crouch down? Like I'll even try to get the angle, but usually it's just forget it. Like this is just going to be what it is. Right?
That's a tough sell in the snow, even though she's wearing snow pants. No, but okay. I wrote down 5 ways to engage your audience, because that's what it is. For me, the big difference is I'm engaged in the photo I took, and not as much in the one that my wife took.
Right.
So I wrote down 5 ways, except for there's actually 6 I could think of. So 6 okay. ways. And the first one, you nailed it. The first one, it is the camera level. I call it level, not to be confused with angle, even though you're right. But I'm going to talk about angle specifically in a second. But the level, where, how high is your camera? I see this, you must see this all the time. I see it all the time with people on their iPhones snapping pictures of their kids at Christmas or whatever. They stand up, their kids are on the floor, they stand up and snap a photo looking down at their kids.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
the time. And it to me, it is fingernails on a chalkboard. I wanted to go and just tell them, why don't you, go ahead, bend your knees. Squat down with your kids. Why would you just take, like, and most times they're not trying to take good photos. They're just trying to document, well, yeah, this happened, you know, in case the police ask, this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
you know. But all you have to do, just lower yourself down to your kid's level, snap the photo. It's wildly different. And that's what happened here. So I get down, I do get down right at snow level and take the exact same photo, like basically the one that you would take.
And I think that... you know, the way it was described to me is that when you take a picture, and part of the awkwardness of taking a photo of a child when you're looking down, I mean, I think part of it is just like, hey, I'm an adult, I'm up here, I'm, you know, let's not burn a few calories crouching down to get eye level. But the reason it's so awkward in the perception of a picture of a child is it looks like you're looking down on someone, which mm-hmm. isn't the feeling of a photo that I think you ever really want.
No,
like it's a very awkward feeling, right? It's not just the fact you're like, because I mean, as an adult, you walk around all day, and when you look at a child, that you, unless you're a very small person yourself, you are going to be looking down. So it's a perspective that we're used to. However, in a photo, it feels very off-putting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And basically disinclusive.
Yes.
And so there are good photos. Looking down on, like, you took one of you looking down on the bride that you one of your favorite photos from last year.
Right, but in that case, they're specifically looking up, and the depth of field is very shallow. Like, everything, you can change it. Again, it's not an exact science of it's always wrong, but most often it's wrong.
Absolutely. No, yeah. There are times when you have to go out of your way to make it, you know, do it on purpose. And then even then, it's tricky to do, and when you pull it off, great. So that's the first thing I usually aim to do, eye level. So if people are sledding, that means they're down low. Get down to their eye level. That's basically where I start. You look at the movie E.T. Famously, I don't know if it's true. I haven't gone through and checked it all, but they say that the entire movie was shot from it with a very low camera from a child's perspective, because it's a movie for children, about children. So the camera is always very low for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of perspective is very important. The second thing I marked down was what you talked about, camera angle. Now, this what I was trying to get at was not so much the up and down, but the side to side. Basically, a head-on shot versus a profile shot, or anywhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Look at my photo, or the photo that my wife took, and although this one is actually rather subtle, I'm turned away from her a little bit more. I'm turned away from the camera and kind of moving across the frame. not tremendously, but compared to the one I took, it looks like we're almost in, we're pretty much in the path of the sled.
Right.
Now, they're not looking at directly at the camera. You don't have to look directly at the camera, but we are in that plane of action. The motion is coming towards us. We are now involved. In real life, if we don't get out of the way, we're going to get hit. There is some. There's now action involved.
There's danger.
There is jeopardy, we like to call it. So that, but that makes a huge difference in how you feel about this photo. And again, the engagement. One of them looks like, okay, yeah, again, this happened. This is something that occurred, and this is something that I'm part of.
Right.
The third thing, you also nailed it. You said isolate your subject from no distraction. Now, you look, I in this case, I shoot with a very long lens, and, you know, don't bother blurring the background because it's just white sky anyway. This is a very gray day. It was actually very dark. It was kind of close to the end of the day, which now is for like 4 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
But the sun was just kind of getting ready to go down in amongst the horrible gray sky, which made for a really flat light and a really kind of blah background. So I wasn't worried about blurring the background out, but I did shoot it at F4 simply because I needed every bit of light I could get. But I basically repositioned myself so that I would get them coming directly at me, and there was nobody standing in behind.
Right.
Very, very specific on that. And my wife didn't take those steps. The other thing I like to do in this situation, to engage somebody, whether it's an action photo or just a portrait or whatever it is get in close.
Okay.
Have them fill the frame as best you can. I mean, not the whole frame, but make sure that they're dominant in it. And I like to do that with a wider lens sometimes, because that means you've actually physically moved in close when you can do that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Very difficult for sports.
Yes.
So any sports, whether it's like, you know, tobogganing or baseball or hockey, whatever it is, you need a longer lens, and that's just the way. That's just the nature of it. So that's what I recommend: is get in close on your subject so that we feel like that we're right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
I have two more. Can you guess what they are?
No, I've lost track.
Okay. Number five is simplicity.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Keep the story very clear. Again, this kind of ties in with distraction, but I mean, there could be 9 or 10 other people sledding around here, and you wouldn't be confused about what's going on. But in this case, it's very clear what's happening here.
Yes.
You don't need anything else. You don't need to include, you know, oh, there's people in the back drinking cocoa, or there's a fire, or, you know, like, it doesn't matter. You don't need all those details. What you need is, you know, your wife and daughter having a good time sledding. You'll fill in the blanks on your own.
Right.
And the last one, this is number six I thought of after I declared there's five things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Facial expressions. I think the facial expressions here are very important, because it's kind of, these are very inviting. Like,
right.
Like you see the happiness, you kind of want to participate in this joy. Now, again, maybe I was just being a grump Gus and, you know, wasn't really smiling, or maybe, you know, she didn't catch the smile, or I think I was smiling. Or sometimes you want to use the grumpiness to sort of disengage, you know, your audience, which kind of engages them in a weird way. I know. It's just whenever you say one thing, I always just say the opposite so that I can be important.
Right.
But generally, in this case, it's the happy faces that I think attract the audience to want to participate in the photo.
Which means for the photographer, you know, probably taking 3 or 4 different runs to sort of get a selection of different facial expressions that you can choose from.
Well, how would you take this? Like, let's go to the one that I shot. Like, actually, looking at the photo of me, I'm actually smiling there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
I would just kind of position myself somewhere where, along the run, and then I would, you know where I was going to be able to compose the shot free of the background distractions. And then I'd probably, each pass that you came down, take, I don't know, 5 or 6 shots when you got to the spot that I sort of was intent on having the shot taken. And then, yeah, I just kind of like when you pass through that zone, I'd take 5 or 6 shots, and then I'd probably get you going down 2 or 3 times enough that I'd have like 15 shots to choose from.
So what about focus? How would you do focus?
I'd probably do it as a focus trap. It kind of depends on how fast you're moving. If I could do it in servo mode if you guys weren't moving at light speed and then just do it that way, or I could set it up as a focus trap. But either way, if you're not moving too fast, the camera wouldn't have any problem. If you were shooting this on an F6 or something, or F5.6, because you said you weren't worried about the background being blurred out, you could even shoot it in F8, and then the servo mode would do just fine.
But ironically, for me, F8 is also better for a trap. F4 is bad for a trap. And I'm Joe Trap. Normally, I'm all about the trap.
Yeah.
This was servo. This is one of the situations where I go the other way and go 100% on servo, and I take it off center focus. I put it on every focus point.
Yeah. Because the background's all pretty much white and easy to pick up the contrast for the camera.
Absolutely. It's a great situation where you can really maximize it. And because your subject is coming directly at you, focus is changing very quickly. It was late in the evening, and so even at ISO 1600, I needed an F4 to get a reasonable shutter speed.
Okay.
And so I'm at somewhere between, you know, 100 and 200 millimeters on the lens. And at F4, so my depth of field is going to be narrow. Now, it doesn't, if there was lots of light, I wouldn't care. It wasn't narrow so I could have narrow depth of field. It was narrow so I could have as much light as possible.
Right.
So that meant focus trap's not really going to work. It's going to take a lot of passes to get the reactions I want. So boom, go with the servo and do 3 or 4 runs, and you're good. And so this was my favorite one out of those. Everything's in focus, everyone, you know, got the good reactions, done. Now, I shot pictures of other people as well, but took, you know, pictures of their kids, but in terms of, you know, for my wife and daughter, I was done.
Yeah.
So that's how we shoot that one.
Okay.
Next week's challenge. Now, I got one because it ties in with something that we talked briefly about last week, but actually, we didn't talk briefly about anything. We went on for hours. But last week, remember I told you I took a photo in the marketplace and went and had it printed immediately, and delivered it to the people to give to their dad. Obviously, that meant I had to shoot it in JPEG. I couldn't go take it. I wasn't going to take my laptop with me and then go, you know, process the raw file and tweak the highlights. It was speed was the issue here. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'd said to them, hey, you know, today. Do you want this in, give to your dad? Do you want it color or black and white? Now, tomorrow, you can have it in both. But today, you have to choose. Because I'm going to go take it, get it printed right now. And that means, like, I didn't explain to them, but I'm going to basically take it in JPEG, and that's going to be it. It's going to be baked in. I'm going to dial in all my settings exactly as I like them. Mm-hmm. As I think, like the contrast, the sharpness, all that stuff, and then basically print the JPEG as is, no Photoshop whatsoever, and it worked out very it worked out great. I was really impressed with the guys who did the printing did a really good job in black and white. Mm-hmm. So next week's challenge, you take a picture of whatever you want, but it's gotta be in JPEG right out of the camera. Mm-hmm. And no looking at the LCD. You take the picture and that's it. One and done. You don't check.
Okay.
So that's it. And we're on the good. We're on the honor system there. So
I'm a cheat.
in that situation, I actually set the camera to RAW plus JPEG because I knew I would want to keep that photo for later and have it in color.
Right.
If they wanted it. So if I had set it to just JPEG, I wasn't getting that color back. But having it RAW and JPEG gave me a JPEG to print and a RAW to play with at home.
Okay.
So you can decide if you want to do that on this one, but up to you.
Okay.
The next line on my note says, websites. tell everybody where your website is.
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
I just today updated the Two Hoser site to include your website in the show notes.
Great.
You've had it up for what, 5 months?
I don't know.
Four months?
Like yeah.
I just forgot. Like, I just kept rolling it forward, so it was always going to the blog that your wife doesn't write anymore.
Right.
But today, start new year, buddy. You're updated. You're fully up to date.
Great.
So expect some serious traffic.
And what about your stuff? Sorry. And Two Hoser's Facebook.
Two Hoser's Facebook, correct. You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and photos and stuff we just talked about. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.